Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is 10 o'clock. Welcome to Mac Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. And we've got a heck of a show tonight. For the first time in at least 3 years, probably longer, a man that I have known for a very, very long time. And whether you know him as Daniels, whether you know him as Steele, it really doesn't matter. Damien, my brother, how you doing?
Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Cool.
Good now.
Cool. I accidentally muted the phone. I'm not the most tech-savvy person, so.
That's okay. It's been a long time, my friend. It's been a long time.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to see you're up and feeling better after your multiple surgeries and hospital stay.
Yeah, I'm getting along a lot better. But, you know, I wanted to talk generally about current state of professional wrestling. I know it's a topic that is kind of near and dear to your heart, because I hear you or I see you talking about it online all the time. So, in your opinion, what is the current state of professional wrestling? Because I'm sure there's a lot of young guys that will be listening to this that will want to know from a veteran like yourself.
Well, I think, and this is just my opinion, you know, but I think that the problem with professional wrestling falls down to, it really falls down to trying to find someone. And people say, you know, you got to find somebody reputable. You got to find somebody knows. And that's not necessarily true. The guys that trained me, one was Ole and Gene Anderson student. And I can't remember who trained Brody, but it was someone along that lines. Brody worked for years in the NWA and NWA Japan in the 80s. Mickey, NWA, local here in South Carolina. It's really who trained them is really what it boils down to. Yes, you can spend your money. You can go get trained by somebody and pay the big bucks. But it's all about research, man. And they push them through this training so fast now that it's just, I mean, when we started for the first 3 weeks, month, it was back like it was real. It beat the shit out of us, just like the Andersons did to people. So it really comes down, yeah, I got my ribs broken. I paid $150 to have my ribs broken in a tryout. Not even to the school, just so I could show up on a Saturday for, I think it was 4 hours Friday, 4 hours Saturday and 4 hours Sunday, just to see if I really would come back. People don't do that anymore. They don't. Trainers, people are, in the end, it's about the money, and that's what it's about the money, but it shouldn't be about the money. If someone is not, there's two types of professional wrestlers, and this is just the way I look at it, is there is a natural professional wrestler who is just, they pick it all up, it's natural, and there's the kind you can teach it to, and they pick it up and make it look natural. And then there's the third kind that are never going to get it. But too many people take the third person's money train them. They don't get it. The bumps aren't right. They can't run the ropes properly. God forbid they try to do a move to somebody. And then they might have a show. So they put them on their show because they feel obligated because they paid the money instead of telling the guy, look, maybe you should be a ref. Maybe you should be an announcer. Instead of just being honest with the person. And, you know, pro wrestling's two things. In the end, it's bumping and rope running. That's all it is. It's bumping, rope running, and, excuse me, three psychology. Because if you don't get the three of those, you're never going to get it out there. If you can't bump, you're never going to put a guy over. And you can't bump safe enough to protect him. If you sure as shit can't run the ropes, you don't need to be out there. Promos and gimmicks and all that stuff can be taught. You can learn that by going to shows, talking to guys better than you. Some guys are good talkers and terrible in the ring. You and I both know that. So it boils down to my opinion, is the three basics. Learn how to bump before you do anything. Too many people snatch guys up and wrestle. I want to be a professional wrestler. So we bump for a week, 2 weeks, and I'm not saying everybody does that. Next thing you know, all right, we do a little rope run. Kind of got that. You're not really good at either one, but okay. I'm going to show you how to do a headlock. And headlock evolved into shoulder tackle, hip toss, arm drag, body slam. But it all goes back to core, learning how to bump, learning how to run the ropes, and learning psychology. Because here's a tip, Ace, in case you didn't know. But power bombs, power slams, all those moves, it's all hip toss, arm drag, body slam. They're all the same. So if you can't hip toss, how can you take a power slam? Think about it. When you see people power slam me, which I do power slams well, I like to take them. What am I taking? I'm taking a hip toss. It's a running front flip. When you're taking a power bomb, what is it? It's a body slam the other way from about the same height off the ground. All those basic hip toss, arm drag, body slams. Like I said, it's not everybody. But sometimes they're not taught as the focus. It's, well, I got a 180-pound guy. And man, he'd be good doing flips. He can't really bump. His headlock looks bad. But what does it matter? He can flip and flop. Okay. But he can't work enough to protect somebody or to put somebody over. And that is, we're not training people. When I help out down here, that's the philosophy I have. When they bring new people in, bump them to their puke. Because if you walk away from bumping, you're never going to make it to that next level and be good. I'm not talking WWE. I'm just talking getting on a good indie show. Too many people nowadays got, I want to be a wrestler. Nobody will book me. I'll just buy a ring and I'll rent a building. I'll bring some people in I know. I'll snatch a couple local veterans that people will come see so I can be the star of my own show and put my friends over, which is what a lot of it boils down to. When people do that, because instead of them just saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe I'm a better manager. Maybe I'm not even a better manager. Maybe I'm good at behind the scenes, because learning how behind the scenes works is a totally different animal than learning how the end of the ring side of the ring works. So maybe you're good at that, because there are some people who are not professional wrestlers. They have great wrestling minds. So
I know a few of those.
Yeah. The state of professional wrestling to me is, instead, everything now is high spot, high spot, high spot, high spot, high spot. Because the fans have been so, I won't say smartened up to the business, but there's so much more out there with social media that a wrestler has to go out there and try to kill themselves to get over, and they don't really have to. Okay, so this match had five dives. Well, why are we diving for the same pop? Because that's all you're getting. This guy jumped over the rope, pop. Ooh, you're doing the exact same pop instead of thinking for a minute where ring psychology comes in and goes, as a heel, or how can I do it differently so that babyface doesn't have to dive? How can I get him over without him having to repeat what was behind him? And sometimes a dive is nice. Everybody loves a good dive. There was a time when I used to dive. I got video. I got VHS footage of me diving, and I'll show it to you sometime. After two or three times of hitting the floor, you find diving's not cool.
But, yeah.
You know, I just think the state of professional wrestling is, you know, it's just kind of like what, you know, guys go and they just say they watch Ring of Honor. Because there's people who watch Ring of Honor, CZW, Rockstar, and they don't watch the WWE. Not everybody watches the WWE in this day and age. If you can believe it, not everybody watches it. They watch New Japan. And so they go, I want to learn that style, the Ring of Honor style. I want to learn that style. So they go and they learn that style. Well, unless you're on a show like that, the guy you're working on another show may not be able to do that style. So now you don't know how to do anything but your style. And then that's where you start having crappy matches by people not crossing with styles, learning different things, learning how to yell at the crowd, learning when to do. Just because you have 18 moves in your arsenal doesn't mean that you have to use them. I wrestled Dave Chris at a wine festival. I got 4 moves on Dave. You know why? Because the crowd was into him beating me up, making me look stupid. Timmy Lutz was with me, and beating on Timmy Lutz. So that's what I did, because that's why the crowd was popping. And guys don't understand that now. They're like, oh, you know, it's a super kick. Everybody loves a Young Buck super kick party. Don't get me wrong. Carino yelling super kick, I love it too. But you get to a point to where you're like, okay, there's been 55 super kicks. Do you not have anything else in your arsenal? You hit your finisher 5 times and the kick kicking out, or you break it up. And then you hit 15 super kicks. In my day, when you hit your finisher, nobody got out. I don't care if it was WrestleMania. If it was your big blow-off and you hit your finisher, that was the match. Nobody killed it. Nobody. Think of the early days of The Undertaker. Did anybody ever kick out of Tombstone?
Never.
Before the business started evolving like the Attitude Era, because the ECW kind of pushing the envelope. Now you got.
I think Hogan did once, but other than that.
Well, you know, Hogan. I think Hogan has a list. I think he's kicked out of everybody's move. And that was his thing. So, you know, Hulkster, that's how they booked it. Everybody got out except DiBiase. And he rolled Ted DiBiase up in their title match. Small package, actually. So, I'm just talking from a standpoint of if you're watching Arn Anderson. And Ole Anderson in the ring against the Rock and Roll Express, and we're on the big comeback, and Arn hit that spine buster, what did you know was happening? 1, 2, 3. When the
exactly.
Rock and Roll Express hit the double drop kick, that was it. And that
right.
part of professional wrestling is lost. To me, it is. It's training, and, you know, you see wrestling schools, and they're like I said, I'm not talking about all of them, and, you know, I can only vouch for the ones that I've been to and ones that I've had a hand in. But if your trainer doesn't understand psychology, then how are you going to ever understand psychology? If your trainer can't bump flat himself and make somebody else look good, how are you going to look good? And that's what it boils down to, is guys going, I got the money, I got a building, I'm going to open a training school. Because that's extra money in my pocket a week. Not the fact that you're a shitty worker in the first place. And you're trying to pass knowledge on, bad knowledge, onto people. Which is where the real issue is people passing bad knowledge on. You know, and like I said, it goes back to like the Ring of Honor style. There's guys that love Ring of Honor. I like Ring of Honor. I do. Like it for different reasons. But if you're not in Ring of Honor, why would you go have a Ring of Honor match at a show with someone who doesn't do that style? You have to be able to do more than just go out there and do 15 dives, 18 backflips, sell. And selling is a big part of it, too. Guys don't sell anymore. And that's a lot of, you know, you see huge moves and guys pop right back up. I think it's cool at certain times, but not every match you're in. Not every match you're in. But you shouldn't pop. If I hit you with a T-bone, I do not expect you to, when I turn around, be standing up. So it all flows down to there's certain aspects, in my opinion, of the wrestling business that have gone away. You know, I got told when I was younger, you need to speed up but slow down. When that clicked in my head, life was so much easier. And you can't explain it to somebody. They just have to get it. There's a time where you get that. And that's when you really, really become a wrestler, in my opinion. And really, the way I was taught, I don't care if you call them WWE superstars and guys like WWE superstars, pro wrestlers. I'm not either one. I'm a worker. I'd much rather be called a worker than a professional wrestler. Because a worker can go out there and work with anybody. A professional wrestler is limited to the style they do. Because that's what they like. That's what they want to do whenever they're out there to get the pop. But sometimes you can't get that. So, I mean, that's just, you know, I think with WWE, I think they rehearse a little too much. I mean, apparently Styles got hurt. And, you know, when you're in a room with pads and ladders and all that stuff, and you're working spots out, and you have 5 or 6 days to practice something, so we go into the match, and let's just say he's not on the spot exactly where he's supposed to be, and you have to alter the spot. Now, in your mind, all you can think of is all that practice you did. I got to do it that way because that's how we practice it. And that's how guys get hurt. We put white trash through 3 stacked tables. You know what the conversation was? Hey, trash, we think we're going to put you through these 3 tables with you laying on top of it, and I'm going to jump off the ladder. He said, okay. Never tried it. Never did it. Everything was great. When you don't think about it and just go out there and do it, it's a lot different, but when you practice, big spots, practice, and that guy's not where he's supposed to be, because you can't control a live event. You can't control the environment around you if the table's not where the crew's supposed to put it or he's not fully on it. He needs to be on it. So that's how I feel about it. You know, it's great. Everybody's a professional wrestler with proper training, but I would much rather be called a worker in my life than a professional wrestler. Terrible at promos, I'm first to admit that. But I like training people, and I always strive to be a worker and not a professional wrestler. That was ingrained in me. But your job as a worker is to put the other guy over. Not to get your shit in, but put the other guy over. So I don't know if that answered the question or what I think, you know.
It actually did answer the question, and we're going to go to the phones real quick because
you, Batman, Jesus, you got callers?
I got a ton of callers, actually.
Damn.
What the hell, Ace? I've been on the phone for like 15 minutes now.
I've been waiting for him to slow down a little bit.
Sorry, you asked me a long...
Well, he's old. He can't move that fast.
You asked me a long and tune question. I love Rob. Rob can make fun of me. That's okay.
What's up, brother?
Not much. Rob has always done me right every time I work for him, so I have nothing bad to say about Rob.
Well, Ace, take some of them calls. I mean...
What's that?
I said, you said you had a lot of callers. Take some of them calls.
I think you wanted you to ask the question and get off the line.
I'm his co-host.
I guess they don't want to ask the question. But since you're the co-host, you get that question.
All right. Well, I mean, I heard y'all were talking about, you know, the high spots and Ring of Honor and how the internet's killing the business, and you know, so I mean, that's.
I don't think it's really killing the business. I just think it's smarting people up to what it was, because you know, when, Rob, you know, when you were a kid, you're younger than me, you and Ace, and when you were a kid, it was real, and that's what makes professional wrestling great to a 12-year-old is that they believe it's real. And I think it's lost some of that.
Actually,
because since
Rob brought up killing the business, that actually does bring up a question that I wanted to ask you. So I got to thank Rob.
Stimulus did kill the business.
That is not what I was going to say. I would never accuse him of that.
If I don't mention Lutz's name at least once, I'll never hear the end of it. So.
Well, actually, what I want to ask you is, Jim Cornette did an interview a couple years ago where he said, at the time, he said in 3 to 5 years, professional wrestling would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Man, I don't think professional wrestling will ever die. I think professional wrestling is a roller coaster. Rob, you know this. It's like a match. It goes up and it goes down. And if you constantly bring the people up with no downtime to sink in what just happened, then it slows down. Because now, you know, Vegas bets on WrestleMania. They have Vegas betting for WWE at their pay-per-views.
I think what Cornette was trying to say in that interview was professional wrestling is going to be dead, but sports entertainment is going to
I agree. It really is your cup of tea, because the older generation like mine, you know, I appreciate what those guys do, but, you know, in that world of events, it is 30 people telling you what to do all the time. Can't do this. Don't do this. Do your 5 moves. Get this over. Make sure they pop for this. There's no sitting in the back working a match out between you and somebody else, because there's 95 people. You got an agent involved. You got a writer with a thing in his hand. So I think it's more out of when you get to that level, it's not as much wrestling as it is acting. The wrestling kind of takes second fiddle. I mean, I use this as an example. Shane Douglas, just, you know, anybody who knows me knows he's one of my wrestling idols, broke Gary Wolf's neck in ECW. Didn't mean to, broke his neck. Boom. Pitbull number, you know, Pitbull number one, the Pitbulls, the original Pitbulls, the real Pitbulls, you know, broke his neck. She jumped ship to him. Francine did. Probably 3 or 4 months later, it was shorter than that, Shane Douglas shook Gary Wolf's halo at an ECW televised event. The shock and awe that Vince has to go to get natural heat like that, it's on the WWE Network. It should be in the ECW somewhere. Douglas goes out of the building through security. Fans are jumping the railing. Everybody's jumping the railing. Douglas comes running through the back with Francine. Saturn's walking up going, you shook his halo, Shane. Dreamer runs, attacks him. Shane goes right out the back door, no bag. Him and Francine jump in the car, and they take off. The next time you see Shane Douglas, he's cutting a promo from outside the hospital room where Gary Wolf was supposed to be. And Francine lays one of the best jokes I've ever heard. She goes, Gary, Ace, if you get it, what's the hardest part of a vegetable to eat? The wheelchair. That entire Rob, look that up. Shane Douglas, Gary Wolf promo. It's one of Douglas's best promos from outside that room.
I have to do that.
And he closes it out with going, Gary Wolf, there's things you'll be able to do. You'll be able to move to the left a little bit. You might even be able to move to the right. And he grabs Francine by the face and he goes, but you'll never get to do her again. Gives her a kiss and the thing ends. Or he goes, kiss my ass, excuse me. He says, kiss my ass and walk away. Vince, to me, never could buy that heat. because everybody talks about the attitude error, the attitude error, the attitude error, the attitude error. Well, look at the attitude error and everything they did, and take ECW from 1997 to maybe 99, even when Carino was there, and could take that chunk when Taz, Sabu, Shane Douglas, all those guys, the Dudleys were in their prime, the Gangsters, Public Enemy, Benoit. Yes, I said Benoit on your radio show. So he gets a shitty racket for what he accomplished in professional wrestling. What he did outside was terrible. That does not take away from the man's body of work. Malenko, Guerrero, Paul Heyman made these guys, gave them a platform to show that they could go out and work. So later Vince could copy that for the Attitude Era, and WCW could take those guys and put them on their show. So I don't think the wrestling business will ever be the – I just think it just evolves. And the good thing about wrestling is, with it evolving is, you know, the E's the top of the mat, and everybody wants to go there, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, some guys dig Ring of Honor. Some guys dig CZW. Some guys dig Rockstar. I like Rockstar. I have friends there also. You know, I like watching their stuff. You know, but you got New Japan Pro. You know, you got – in some weird way, you have TNA. I love the broken Matt Hardy stuff. You've got TNA, who somehow has managed to stay in business. And I'm glad they are, because I hate them. I don't want anybody to lose their job. I don't want TNA to close. But the scene has become that you don't have to go to work for Vince to make a living now. That is what the scene is. When you get to a level to where they're maybe looking at you, you can go to Ring of Honor, work less days, be home more, go to Japan, make a decent living. You can work the big indies, CZW, Rockstar, Big Time Wrestling, all those big ones, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla out in California. You can hit that circuit, get good, command a paycheck, and make a living. You don't, you know, everybody wants to be a millionaire, but everybody's made to be a millionaire. I used to tell people, you know how you get an event? You offer him something he doesn't have. You got to offer him something that he doesn't have that he can't duplicate with anybody else in his current situation. Because look at the guys now that are popular in WWE. It's not, you know, it's not his muscle guys. It's big boy Bray Wyatt with a gut. It's Kevin Owens. You know, still got, like, Seth Rollins, CrossFit Jesus, which is hilarious when Moxley called him that. But you have a mix of muscle guys who look the part, you know, act the part, but they can't work, but they can talk. You know, so his big guys now on Raw is a guy in shorts and a T-shirt. I'm not talking about Cena either. You know, on SmackDown, it's 18-year veteran. Let's see, I'm doing this almost 20th year. 18-year veteran AJ Styles, a guy in blue jeans and a tank top who can work his ass off as the top billed babyface in that company. And Dean Ambrose.
How does that make you feel?
How does it make me feel? People ask me that when that happens. You know, I think I kind of look at it because. When he and I met and we were down there, you know, he got very limited basics in the training. And there was four or five of us who he kind of clung to, the Boogaloo crew, me, but Rick Michaels helped him, and Bill Barron's in his way. And we all just kind of helped. We were all kind of helping down there. You kind of helped develop each other, kind of like HWA. You know, you kind of helped develop each other. Am I glad that he's there? Heck yeah, let him be there. Let him be there. Because you know what? He went out after that and he got better. He went to Japan. He wrestled. And he got that, you know, in Japan. He learned different moves, learned different styles. But the guys who help you when you're at that bottom should always have satisfaction that you were there. I'm older than he. Well, let's see, he's 35, 36, he's 38, 39. I had a lot of injuries through my career that stifled mine of being young and dumb and not knowing when to shut up sometimes. But you want to be proud that that guy made it. You want to say, hey, I was there with him, and I helped him, and he took the reins and made himself into it is. You know, no guy should take credit for someone getting to the WWE. Nobody who trains anybody and they go to the E, they get a contract in New Japan, should take credit for that. Because you showed them the basics. Yes, you did. You taught them to bump. You taught them to run the ropes. You taught them ring psychology. Okay, so that was when he was 18. Now he's 25. He learned from other people this whole journey there. You taught him the basics. Be proud your guy's there. But taking credit because he's in the WWE, you don't get to take credit for that. He got himself there. You didn't. You know, see what I'm saying, Rob? It's
kinda,
okay to say, hey,
like
I helped train
a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. You know, too many guys want to take credit for, you know, and it's good for your wrestling school. Don't get me wrong. I don't know Cody Hawk. I don't know him. And that's good for his wrestling school and his money. And this is not a shoot on Cody Hawk in any way, shape, or form. Every time I've met him, he's been nothing but courteous to me. But when you brand your wrestling school on the fact that these are your top five guys who are out there, well, talk to me about the other 65 people that you trained. Where are they? Why aren't they there? Because they didn't have that extra bit of push to get themselves to where they are. And I applaud anybody. Put them on the school, man. Put them on the thing. It's great because it draws money in. But in the end, anybody who's a worker, and I know Cody's a worker, has to know. And because I feel the same way about guys that, you know, you train and you show the basics to and you teach them psychology and you take them with you. And there's a point where you got to let them go. It's like having a kid. And you got to let them kind of make mistakes on their own. But to say that because somebody trained you 10 years ago, got you to the WWE, is just an ego-induced statement to make yourself look good. That's all it is. Because you didn't get that guy into that big promotion. He got himself by working better talent, bigger promotion, getting seen for a reason. And you can take full credit for his basis and bringing him along when he was coming up. But the minute he left and went out to somewhere else and got himself over and won titles in Japan and titles in big promotions, that's where that has to stop. And like I said, man, you want to put him on the side of your school to get money? And, you know, hey, man, like I said, I don't know Cody, and he trains well from what I can see from the people that I wrestled him. He trains phenomenal. But this hype around Dean Ambrose wouldn't have got there without him is just ridiculous. It's like saying AJ would have never would have got to WWE without me, Rick Michaels, Scotty Wren, JC Dash, Bill Barron, Jeff G. Bailey. That's a ridiculous statement to make. But you were, and that's sometimes what guys at wrestling schools do is they take that moniker of, well, I have these guys in this promotion. I'm not talking about anybody in general now. I have these guys in these promotions. That's my body of work. It was when they were 18 or when they paid their $3,000. But once they get away from you and they're doing their thing, we can't take credit for him getting none of us can take credit for AJ Styles getting the TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan. Bill Barron can take credit for that because he was the guy who books AJ and he's his manager. But if AJ had gone to Ring of Honor and tanked, Rob, would he have stayed?
Probably not.
Exactly. You know, that's why I say you can put five people on the poster to get other people into your school, and that's great. Do that. If I had a school, I'd put Timmy Lutz on the poster. People that I, and some other people. But what happened to the other long, great career that Cody Hawk has had? What happened to the other, and it's the same thing with me, it's anybody who trains anybody. What happens to the other 70 people you trained versus five? Know what I'm saying? You know, it's like people call themselves veterans. I always used to ask them, because this is the guy that trained me. This is an interesting thing, Rob. Do this sometime. Ask the guy how many matches he's had if he calls himself a veteran. If he tells you, I've been wrestling for 5 years and I'm a veteran, and he can tell you, I've had 200 matches, divide 5 by 200, and that tells you how many matches he's had in a year. Is he really a veteran?
Not really, no.
Exactly. I couldn't tell you how many matches I've had in 18 years or so of doing this.
I can't even tell you how many matches I had this year.
Exactly. And that's how I used to base on if someone was big leaguing me and, you know, down in Georgia, I'm a veteran, I've been doing this. How many matches have you had? Oh, man, I've had 400 matches. You've been working 10 years? Yeah. That's 40 matches a year. That's not a lot. I mean, what is it? You know? Is he really a veteran? So, you know, that's kind of how I feel about that. And that was not a shoot on Cody Hawes. I don't want the internet to blow up. I don't know how to work my phone past Facebook. But it was not a shoot on him in any way, shape, or form. I applaud him for that. However, he has to make money. That's his thing. But to take credit for a guy that hasn't been with you in 10 years, and there's nothing wrong with Dean showing him respect, and it should be. He should. Cody Hawk broke him into business. But to take full credit for him in some way, shape, or form is just a ludicrous thing for any trainer to do. So that's my opinion on it. Like I said, it's not a shoot. Cody Hawk's always been good to me every time I met him. So it didn't really occur to me, Rob, that I was shooting on anybody. But until you said that, I started thinking about the way I was wording it, and it wasn't directed to him. It just was an example of the way people put people on pedestals, as you say. All right, Ace, what's your question here?
Speaking of taking credit for people,
I addressed this on my show.
Oh, speaking of him, he actually sent me a friend request today.
Total off subject. That crazy guy that was dating Scotty Hill on SWI now is having a baby. You all put two and two together where that went to.
Yeah.
Ace just threw up in his mouth.
I threw up in my mouth when I read it too. Don't feel bad, Ace. Now, you said earlier you were talking about guys that just don't have it or just don't get it or should think about their wrestling careers and being managers and stuff like that. Now, I've got to ask, there's got to be a list of guys that you've met over the years that you feel should just step away.
Like been in the business too long or just were never really good in the first place.
Like,
there's a difference. There's guys who hang on to the career like Mickey Rourke and the Wrestler, and there's guys that trainers took their money and trained them, but they were never going to amount to anything past a local show, and then they end up hurting somebody or themselves.
Yeah, that I'm talking about the second one there, right there. I'm talking about guys like. I was talking about guys like Dan Hansen, guys like Nicholas Davidson, guys like Kai Hansen or whatever he's calling himself nowadays.
You know, I like Dan as a person, and I didn't say anything to Dan. I wouldn't say to his face, but you know, I watched a huge 144 comment thing on Facebook about Dan Hansen and training. And in that sense, some guys are just good enough to be on that local show. Some guys are just good enough to be on that local show. They're not great. They're not terrible in the way that they would hurt somebody, but they're never going to get any better. I can't say anything bad about Nicholas Davidson because he let me staple a dollar bill to his forehead with an industrial stapler.
He still has that dollar, too.
It's the only time he got paid. And I paid him. What's wrong with that? This was my dollar. But, you know, when I trained, there were some guys that came through with us, and my trainers were just like, you're never going to get this. And they had to do other things, and people too much want to take people's money and not be honest with them. So, Ace, are you still there? This is your show. It's not the
yeah,
Damien still Rob show.
We should
think about that, Rob.
Well, I do have FWR Radio. I mean, I am looking for a co-host.
I might look into that. Could be interesting a couple times a week or a month. So, Ace, roll it. Stay Diamond Show.
No, this is my show. But I do want to bring up something because, you know, we've got about 20 minutes left. You've got a reunion coming up.
Yes, sir. At maybe, man, 1997. So it's been almost 20 years. The original NWA Wildside, NCW, where I really learned to cut my teeth. Rick Michaels is graciously made up of Bill Barons, and we are going to have a reunion. So, unfortunately, you know, guys like AJ Styles will not be in attendance due to other contractual obligations. But, yes, sir, it is a reunion show in Cornelia, Georgia on January 28, 2017. I am so excited. Because we're going to be wrestling like it's 1996, 97. So, yeah,
can you still go like it's 96?
I can. I just regret it the next day. At the time, my body's like, yeah, you can do this. I'm like, yeah, I can do this. And you go to get out of bed the next morning, you're like, no, you shouldn't have done that.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. But, yeah, the reunion show I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be good. It's in the Church of Southern Wrestling, a building we made famous. It's really not anything great. It's an abandoned gym. It's a gym. It has electricity, no running water, no heat, and no air and porta-potties. So, and no mats on the floor either. So when you jump off that top rope, you just hit that gym floor. So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing guys I haven't seen in a long time. It really helped me get through, you know, helped me develop me into a worker. So, but yeah, all right, Ace, you're up now.
I just asked that question, so.
So what do you want to talk about
got
now?
What do you got coming up here, you know, in the next couple of weeks?
I got nothing, man. I got a broken bone in my wrist. So I have to let that heal first. So when that heals, then that'll be fine. But, yeah, I got a broken bone in my wrist. So right now I'm just missing. I'm just chilling. Got some shows I go to down here. Friends of mine own them that are quite nice, and so I got to try to implant some knowledge or something along the lines of that. So that's the way I do it.
Now, are we going to be getting Damien Steele / Daniels training seminars in the near future?
God, I hope not. But no, well, I mean, I think it'd be fun to do some. I like doing training seminars. I really do. So, and they're a lot of fun. But, you know, my goal for next year is to open a wrestling school down here at some point. So, that's really my goal, is to get a wrestling school. I got enough connections down here where I don't have to actually run a promotion. So I would just like a training school.
You should run a promotion because I need book down there.
I got like 3 promotions I can get people booked on. I think Lutz is coming down here.
You need a license to wrestle down there?
Yeah.
Okay. How are they about piss testing?
You know, after you should have a doctor's physical, no drug test.
Okay. That I can do. Well, Ace, I mean, I asked like 3 questions in a row there, brother.
Yes, you did. So what? This could get all of us in trouble, but I've got to ask it anyway.
Okay.
What's your favorite memory of your time in Ohio?
He said it was stapling a dollar bill to Davidson's head.
He said that was
good. I was definitely tagging with Mike. Definitely tagging with Brody. Love tagging with Mike. And the stuff that I did, some of the stuff that we did, we got away with at SWI behind Scotty's back out in the ring. He had no idea what was going on. And I loved HWA and the Soul Work. I thought that was a very special time of this, the group of guys that were, of us that were together, who were working for free on Wednesdays at the Soul Work to put a show out to build to the big shows. HWA was a really fun time for me. It really was. So that'd probably sum it up. I enjoyed a lot of that.
Wow, I don't even get a mention. The body bag doesn't get a mention? Wow, I'm surprised.
You only managed me once.
I'm talking about the time you Brody, and
somebody
else. Oh, we took
Natasha out in the body bag?
Oh,
no, you did stuff
in the
body
bag.
Oh, that's right, I zipped it all the way up so you couldn't breathe.
Yeah. Speaking of which, or I should say the witch,
you don't talk about being stuck in a body bag. Excuse you? Watch what you say, Twinkie. You don't talk about getting stuck in a body bag? What are you bitching about?
Somebody turn the trash bag off.
You.
Hey, Twinkie. Go to hell.
I'm already there. You're at it.
You lost it. You've lost control, Ace.
He lost control before the show ever started.
Exactly.
And with me and Natasha and Animal and Simon, that is a separate time that I could not do again with 3 different people and have the magic that the 4 of us have. That's a lot of my memory is HWA and me and Natasha going to Chicago. Come to get me in Columbus so we can go down to Sydney to wrestle. Starbucks on the way, getting pulled over for you were drunk because your contacts had been in all day.
Exactly.
And Ref Mike not specifying to the cop that he has a Kentucky ID.
Right.
Getting tased because he didn't know when to shut his mouth.
Yeah.
Those were good times. What needs to happen is a half of time in the
good time.
Well, it's even more fun when it's Mike the Ref.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to see him get tased?
All right, Ace, come on, buddy. Questions.
I'll blame
okay,
for her to ask a question.
Okay, well, fine.
She got on the show. I figured she had a question.
Because I sent you a text asking if you asked about it, and you never answered, so I'm going to ask it anyway. I kind of already know the answer to this, but for those people that don't, if a worker were to come to you, and we'll just say they're not a good talker or whatever, and they ask, what do you look for in a manager? How would you answer that?
I look for a manager, someone that I don't have to tell what to do. Someone after time of being together just knows what I'm going to do and positions themselves in the position before I get my opponent there. promo, being able to get heat, but it's really a relationship between the manager and the worker, the wrestler, to where they know what you're going to do before you do it. And that's a quality I look for in the managers I've had. And I've had that with very few. You know, I've had managers stress on me. I've had managers I didn't want, you know, when I worked in Georgia and been part of things. But when you click with a manager, like I click with Natasha and I click with Animal, I clicked with Simon, it just is a beautiful product. It happens. You can see when people don't click with managers or when a manager really doesn't know where they need to be and what they're doing, and the only reason they're out there is because they want to be part of the business, and they stand there and watch the match and try to, instead of trying to get heat for their guy. If you have a manager, you shouldn't have to get heat. That's what their job is for. We went to Chicago. My music hit in front of 300 people out there. We walked down the aisle. I didn't say a single word. By the time we got to the ring, Natasha had everybody wanting to kill her. That's a manager.
I just seem to have that effect on people.
Well, have you seen Natasha? I mean...
Ooh.
Obviously,
ooh.
He has.
Yes,
and obviously, he left when he sees her as a manager.
Natasha is, I have to say, her and you're probably, you and Simon are neck and neck, because Animal's more of a bodyguard, but you and Simon are neck and neck, and Slim, I can't leave Paul out, because I enjoy when he does the boogie gimmick and gets choke slammed or something, and his shoes go flying off into the crowd. That's always funny.
You're talking about Uncle Simon, right?
Of course he's talking about Uncle Simon.
Of course.
There's no comparison. Uncle Simon wins.
Look, and I don't care what Johnny Swade says. Johnny Swade never brought the gold to the House of Simon like I did. He may have been the first member, but he sure wasn't the best member of the House of Simon. I love you, Johnny.
Not by a long shot. Lucky's a good enough person, but yeah. He was far from the best member of the House of Simon ever.
Fluffy.
Fluffy. He hates that.
That's why I call him
so
every time
much.
I see him. And he knows right where it's coming from every time I say it.
Yep. All right, Ace. Your show, questions, people.
Okay, well, you've pretty much covered everything. Although I'm sure somebody would disagree with that, but...
That's all right.
Okay. We know you have a little boy, and then you have another little one on the way.
Yeah.
Do you envision them getting into the business?
God, I hope not. I saw what it did to me. God, I hope not. I want them to go to college and do something else with themselves. I mean, he watches it now with me. But, you know, I'd kind of do him if you wanted to. Do him how Ricky Steamboat did his kid. You know, you're not walking into the WWE off my name. Go get trained. Go to England. Go to Japan. Make your name and not off my name. And then, when you're ready, I don't mind helping a little bit. But you got to push him out there and see if he really wants it. Some people get into the WWE because of their name, because of who their dad is, who their uncle is. And they have no business being there just because of that. It worries me when guys get contracts and have never worked in indies because they look good. That's just a frightening statement as always.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is that noise?
Ace, put the slushy down.
That's not me. Okay, I do have a question.
Yes, I'm trying to DNA test whether Ace Diamond and Colin are brothers.
Who Who are your top five favorite people to watch in the business right now?
Man. Because he still wrestles, Steve Corino has always been one of my favorites to watch work because it's a total work. I enjoy Al Snow when he's on TNA. I enjoy Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards, whether separate or together. And it really just depends on their opponent because some guys just kind of, you know, no matter how good you are, you're stuck with somebody who just sucks and can't do what you do. But it wouldn't necessarily be guys that I just fall in love with and kind of see their match. It's more the product that they're on. Like, I like watching Rockstar on the thing. You know, I like Dave. I've worked Dave several times, worked him and Jay in HWA. I like watching Dave work and Jay and Ron Mathis and those guys. But it's a total package show. It's not just, you know, it's this guy versus this guy. And, you know, some of those matches are great. But you go back and watch Guerrero Malenko, that entire ECW show when they left, it's pretty solid from top to bottom. And they should have got the main build there. So it's kind of like that. I like watching older guys, like the tapes of Malenko and Guerrero and Benoit. Yes, I said Chris Benoit. I'm going to keep saying Chris Benoit until they put him in the Hall of Fame. Hell, they let David Arquette in. So, or
what
not
are
David Arquette.
On gimmicks today?
I think too many people rely on their gimmick and they shorten themselves on not. When you rely too much on your gimmick and not your actual body of work in the ring, I think it sometimes it doesn't pan out, and you have bad matches where, you know, Triple H might like a gimmick, but if you can't work in the ring, why would he can just let's see what you're doing and put your gimmick on somebody else who can do the same thing. So to me, I think it has to be a total package. It has to be a total deal with everything. Your personality, your gimmick, your thing. But, you know, there's guys I like working. I really like Dalton Castle from Ring of Honor. I think Dalton Castle is hilarious with the boys. I think Dalton Castle would be great for NXT. Could he find someone else that could do that gimmick? Yeah, but it wouldn't be Dalton Castle. You know what I'm saying? And Dalton Castle can work
absolutely.
In the ring. And that's the big difference is you can stick a gimmick on somebody. I mean, look, how many gimmicks did they try on Al Snow before Paul Heyman said, just talk to the head and go out there and work. And then all of a sudden, Al Snow's, bam, he's Al Snow. I'm talking to a mannequin head. For a guy that can work as well as Al Snow can, all those other flashy WWE gimmicks weren't the right gimmick. Sometimes you just got to let a guy be a guy and let him do his thing. And
yep.
Gimmick will follow.
Well, we're actually about out of time, so if there's anything you want to mention coming up, now would be...
Just really, the only thing I got going on is the Cornelia on the 28th and waiting on my second child to come, so... I'm pretty boring life now. But, you know, it's not boring in that sense. It's boring without the, you know, I miss the wrestling. But like I said, I'm working to the school. But, you know, I enjoy not having to drive 3 hours on Saturday sometimes and I can sit around the house and watch football and not have to check my phone and drag Shelly out and Christian for that stuff. So,
yep.
Fantasy life of professional wrestling is great, but nothing beats real life. So
great. Well, I want to thank you again for being on this show. We're got 10 seconds. For Damian Daniels and Fat Man Rob Fatone and the crazy lady.
Watch it again.